How many of you brought your word today? Did you know in the scripture that it says he sent his word to heal our sicknesses and diseases? We need this word this morning. I want you to go in the Bible with me. We're going to be going into the book of Judges, chapter 16 this morning. When you find it in Judges chapter 16, I want you to stand with me out of reverencing the word of God as we read. I'm going to pick up the reading at verse number 17. Judges chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 17. That he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at the other times before and shake myself." And he was not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. How but the hairs of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice under Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." It came to pass, when their hearts were merry, and they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called upon the Lord and said, "O Lord, remember me, I pray, and strengthen me, I pray, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, and on the one which his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than that which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Ethrol, and in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Lord, I thank you today for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, as we began to read and study and allow the Spirit to teach us today. Lord, that we can understand how it is to regain our strength. How it is, Lord, that we must be careful not to say it to ourselves, "I'll just do like every other time and shake myself and the power of God will just be there." But Lord, we must be in a relationship with you. We must be in intimacy with you. We must be in your word. We must be in your house of worship. We must be with the body of believers, for great things are yet to come. Father, we give you all our praise this morning in your house, in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. It was in the late hours last night. I really prayed, was seeking God, and he gave me something to preach on this morning. I saw some interesting things, you know, from your Sunday school lessons about Samson. But I want us to dig into the Word of God and say, "God, how does this work for the church today? What's going on?" I wanted to title the message this morning, "Don't Die with the Philistines." Don't die with the Philistines. The text came out of Judges chapter 16, verses 17 through 31. But I want to remind you of a verse of scripture in Jeremiah 29. The Lord said that I know the thoughts that I have towards you. God's thoughts towards His church, God's thoughts towards you, God's thoughts towards each of us is that His thoughts towards us, the Bible says, thoughts towards us are for peace and not for evil. Samson needed to hear those words and understand that God's position and power and authority in his life was so that he could bring peace in his life and disruption and despair in the enemy's camp. Another scripture that I believe fits real good with Samson that you and I and the church need to get a hold of is Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Christ Jesus our Lord is eternal life." Is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin has a price. Samson could probably take Romans 6:23 and began to preach and tell everybody, "Hey, I lived this. Hey, I was somebody that God was working in my life. I was somebody that gave my heart to Him. I was somebody that was brought up in the house of God. I was somebody that knew about eternal life. I was somebody that was a household that knew that there was a God in heaven. But then there was this thing in my life that I just had to flirt around with sin. I just had to flex my muscles. I just had to look with my eyes and begin to take what I wanted and do things my own way." And Samson paid a price. He died with the Philistines. He didn't die with his church family. He didn't die with his neighbors that he grew up with. He died in a place that was on the outside of God. The Philistines represent a people that don't want God. As a matter of fact, the Philistines are mockers of God. You can go back and remember David when he was just a young lad and he was out there fighting Goliath, who was a Philistine. You can go through your Bible and find out how many times the Philistines were mocking and making fun of the house of God, and they were promoting their gods. There's a mocking spirit today. There's a Philistine spirit trying to reach into the church house and say, "You know what? Why don't you leave where you're at and why don't you come and play with the Philistines? We got some good things to offer. We got some things that you might enjoy." And you know what they're going to do? When you get in the grasp of the Philistine presence, they're going to try to weaken you. Do you know that every time Samson was in the place of the Philistines, his strength was being removed from him? He was constantly being tested and tried by the enemy's fire. Samson could preach very well, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What is that verse saying? See, God's been dealing with me about anointing. The very first message that God gave me for the new year was pray for the return of Christ. Kind of threw some people off, kind of threw some people out there that want to be on this prophecy thing about this is the ending, this is the last days. I believe it is the last days, but there's a lot of prophets going around trying to claim that we're going to go home in 2012. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say exactly when we're going. He says be ready to go. I'm not knocking the prophecy because it's in the Word of God. You can read Daniel, you get prophecy. You can read Revelations, you get prophecy. Prophecy is throughout this Word. You need to know it. You need to understand it. But more than anything else, if it is the time for Jesus to come back, He's our Lord. But you know what it is when you pray for the return of Christ? You're saying, "God, may the church house be anointed again before you come. God, may my house be anointed again before you return." Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the one who is able to baptize of the Holy Spirit upon us. John baptized of water, but Jesus baptized of the Holy Spirit. We need a new, fresh baptism of His anointing. We need Christ to return in the church house and allow His presence to fill us and strengthen us. Jesus is your Redeemer. Christ is not His last name. He is the anointed one, and we need to seek the anointing. To get His anointing, you got to be close to Him. Anointing means rubbing on and smearing and being so close that you can't separate. And then when you say Lord, you can say King of Kings. He's conquered every king. There'll never be a king rise up greater than him. His throne will be and is the last throne to ever be established. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was there before the first king. He's there after the last king falls, but he is King of Kings. Lord of Lords means I'm going to bow down and I'm going to submit. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to worship him. Are you going to worship El Shaddai till the day you die? Are you going to bow down and surrender your life unto him and say, Lord, as long as I have breath, I'm going to praise you. As long as I have breath, I'm going to serve you. As long as I have breath, I'm going to minister any way that you have fit for me to minister. So let's talk about Samson. How did Samson end up in the way that he ended his life? How did it happen? What about our lives? Can we ask the Lord, and many of us have at different times in our life, how did I get into this situation? How in the world did my life get me here? Well, we're going to look at Samson this morning. Everything in the Bible, the scripture tells me, is for our correction, our reproof, our edification, our building up. You don't think there's any power left in the book to tell us about Judges and tell us about Samson? Then you need to understand that Jesus uses everything in his word to teach his church how to be better and to stand on his promise. Things that got Samson's life this way. Two things. Pride and pleasure. He was full of pride, and he had a lust for pleasure. God wanted something different. The whole example throughout Judges here, talking about Samson unto the church. God wants us to have grace and humility. Those two things would have changed the very lives of Samson. If Samson would have allowed those two things to grab a hold of his life, I believe we would read different things. Oh, great, powerful things that Samson did, but every place that he did something great, it was because of the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That anointing was there, not because of him. But there would have been just as great a things that happened, but his personal life would have ended different. How do you want your personal life to end before you go home to heaven? How do you want to be found in the last of your days? Where do you want your family to bury you when it's all said and done? I would say to the church this morning, don't let yourself or the church be dying out and buried where the Philistines' camp is. There's nothing wrong. There's no weakness in dying for Jesus. Don't you remember Stephen, who was stoned as he gave the word of life and he gave the gospel message to them? He lost his life, but he did it on the principle of preaching the gospel. Samson lost his life because he gave in to the prides in his heart and the pleasures in his eyes, and he found himself in a dark and dreary place, and when it was all said and done, he had not fulfilled everything that God had asked of him to do. But God still used him. Let me tell the church that God will use us in our weakness. He is going to get his will done upon the earth. He is going to get the gospel message out to the lost. He is going to show the power of his might in spite of us. James chapter 4 talks to you and I about pride. The Bible says that God gives grace, even more grace, to the humble, but he resists the prideful spirit. He will resist you from being blessed. He will resist you from being able to be used in the powerful way that God wants to use your life, because pride is going to interfere with the grace and humbleness of God's Spirit. See, God's a perfect God. He's a holy God. He gave Adam and Eve a will. We have that same will today. I will serve God or I won't serve God. I will be in his word or I won't be in his word. I will go to church or I won't go to church. I will let the Holy Spirit use me or I won't let the Holy Spirit use me. I will surrender all that's within my heart unto him or I won't surrender. See, this is where we go back and forth. Church, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say there's a neutral zone. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that you can literally stand in limbo and make your decisions. Oh, I really just can't make up my mind. By not making up your mind, you already made a move and you already did make up your mind. Whenever you close off and allow the Spirit not to be alive inside of you and using you to the capacity that God has, in church, He's going to grow us. He's going to grow us. I'm not trying to preach on you and me today saying we've got to all of a sudden just explode and be everything, all power and all might that God has. Everything just line up perfectly in our lives. No, but you got to have desire and will to go in the direction that God has. He'll lead you. How did Samson end up in this place? Pride and pleasure. How do you get out of a place like that? You get humble before God and you allow the grace and the mercy of God to get a hold of your life. You got to go back to Judges chapter 13. Now I would give you some homework and say, go back to Judges 13 and read all the way through. Chapter 16. Get to the end of what we just read, and that can show you some things. Israel represents the house of God. It will always represent God's children. It will always represent God's presence where He chooses to dwell. It is His child. Israel belongs to God, and you and I are part of Israel, grafted in by the grace of God's mercy. You and I have been taken out of the Philistine nature. We have been taken out of the Gentile place. We are now grafted into the things of God, and you and I are the Israelites of Jesus today. His church is always going to be His church. He loves His church. He loves His children. But just like children do, they rebel. They give in to these things that the world has put together by an evil spirit, Satan. Pride and pleasures. And Israel had got to the place, the Bible says, that they sinned again against God in His sight. And what they were doing was worshiping false gods. Well, Pastor, I would never worship a false god. Well, maybe one of these days the Lord will just use a message titled, "What Are the Gods of Today?" Because there's many gods in our world. There's many gods in our society. Money, power, fame, position. Those are gods. People spend every waking moment, all their energy, going after that next thing, whatever this world offers. They got themselves in trouble. How many know that the church can get itself in trouble? How many knows when you're in trouble, there's only one answer, there's only one way out? The Bible says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus, and I want to preach about Jesus getting the church and Israel and His children out of trouble. We don't need to go in and repeat everything Samson did. We need to learn. Amen. We need to let the Spirit of God teach us and say, you know, not in this generation. We're not going to be like Samson. We're not going to die in the Philistines' territories. We're going to die in the church, serving Him, worshiping Him. If they come in off the street and they gun us down and they mow us over while we're serving God, so be it. I'm going home to glory. But don't let me be on the outside of the church doing the business of the world, sinning and having pleasures and pride in my life, and all of a sudden find that my eyes are taken out and all my strength is gone, and they're mocking me every day saying, "He used to be a pastor. He used to be a Sunday school teacher. He used to be a worshiper. He used to be a tither. He used to be a giver. He used to be a young adult playing instruments. He used to do drama in the church. He used to go out and witness." No, I don't want to be mocked. I don't want the church to be mocked. We don't want to end up like Samson. We want to be children of God to the end. So God's always got a plan how to get His church and His people out. He is always going to send deliverance. Manoah and his mother, Samson's mother, the angel of the Lord began to talk to them. Israel had been in bondage 40 years. They were enslaved to sin. They were captured. Let me tell you, if you don't believe Romans 6:23 is true, 6:23 is true, just go and read this all over again, because sin will catch up. And when it gets its holds on you, it's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be some hardships. It's going to be some bondage. It's going to get a hold of you until the Savior says, I've got a plan for you. So here's the Lord, and He speaks to the mother. The father wasn't there the first time. The angel of the Lord said, you're going to bear a son. Began to explain what was going to happen. So much that the angel of the Lord said, you got to change some things in your life if this birth is going to take place. You and I got to put ourselves in position if we want the church to be changed by Jesus. The mother who was carrying the child, going to carry the birth of Samson in her. The angel of the Lord said, listen, this is what you need to do. Separate yourself from any strong drink, wine, anything strong drink. Also, by the way, don't eat anything unclean. You know what the angel of the Lord was doing? He was setting her up on a 9-month fast. He was setting up a fast of purity. Let me tell you what happens in the first stages of fasting. We ought to do a little bit more of it in the house of God if you want to get pure again. Allow God to speak to you and minister to you and say, it's time to get pure. How are you going to get pure? You start by stop eating the junk food that we're eating. And then let it drop into your spirit and clean up the junk that's in your heart. And God will say, now I can begin to work with somebody because they've regained purity in their spirit and in their life. And they've told the old flesh, listen, I'm not giving in to your appetites. I'm going to have an appetite for Jesus, and I'm going to push myself away from the table for a little bit of time, and I'm going to pray before God. How's revival start? I just told you how it starts. Revival's about to happen in the family of the children of Israel. See, we narrow it down to one family. Manoah and his wife and a baby. But God said it ain't just about the husband and the mother. It ain't just about the father and the mother. It ain't just about the husband and the wife and the baby. It's about my house. It's about my children. It's about my nation. It's about my name. God's name will be glorified. God is going to reign on high. He is going to let the world know that they can't get one over on Him. He will rise up every time. He's going to do it. He had a plan. Remember Jeremiah 29? I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. So right away, God has a thought for you. God has a thought for me. Not evil, peace. He starts out this family this way. Something you can draw from that story in the Bible is the fact that Manoah wasn't there when the angel of the Lord spoke first. So the wife is telling him all about these things that God said. They got to praying. They wanted a double check. They wanted confirmation. Church, it's okay when somebody gives you a word, pray for confirmation. If it's the Holy Ghost, He'll speak it again. If it's the Holy Ghost, it'll line up with His word. If it's the Holy Ghost, you can find it in Scripture. If it's the Holy Ghost, it's going to keep running into you and running into you until you say, I surrender, I believe it. When the Bible says, by your stripes I'm healed, it's going to start happening when you get a hold and believe it, because the word's already true. The word's already full of power. But you got to walk in and say, I got my double confirmation. I got my triple confirmation. Yeah, the pastor's still preaching about healing in 2012. Yeah, it can still happen in 2012. Yeah, God's going to do it again. Yes, He can do it again. I'm excited about this year because God flipped it over in my spirit and said, you don't got to mess with 2011 anymore. You're now in 2012. I know what God's about to do in my spirit. I don't know everything, but I just know God's got me feeling pretty good. He's got me excited because I know miracles and they're popping up everywhere. And God's doing great things. We had a family sitting in our church this morning where the hand of God brought life back into a vessel and said, I want to be in the house of God. And I believe God with others, and we saw it happen today. In 2012, what's God saying in that? I believe He can preach a message and say what it didn't look like in 2011, I can do in 2012. Oh man, I got 5 minutes to finish this message and I haven't even got started. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Samson got born. Do you know what the angel of the Lord said? He spoke the truth. He said, now you're barren, but it's coming. Church, you might be sitting there saying, now, right now, it hurts. Right now, I don't have it. But you can't stay in the now. You got to get over in tomorrow. The now may be telling you I got a headache. The now may be telling you I don't want to listen even 5 more minutes. I hope he hurries up and gets it done in 2. Go to tomorrow. Let the angel of the Lord minister and say, you've got a tomorrow coming. You've got a tomorrow. The barren womb is showing that God's power always has a place to give you a tomorrow. The barren womb is something that you and I live with. We look at it every day and say, it's barren. The church benches are barren. The ministry is barren. The money is barren. My kids are barren. They're not giving any fruit of righteousness. All these things. My job is barren. But what you got to do is let the angel of the Lord, let the angel of the Lord get into your spirit and say, but you got a tomorrow coming. And you are going to birth the Son. And the Son is going to come. And you are going to see the glory of God. And you will understand that I've got a plan. A righteous plan for you. A thought that is good towards you. Of peace and not of evil. Somebody needs to get excited about their tomorrows. Hallelujah. Remember Samson? We're going to skip ahead a little bit. Actually, I can't. I'll just have to go to this next place. And then if we run out of time, you'll have to come back and hear part 2. There was some obedience that happened in Manoah's life and his wife's life. Because they pleaded with the angel of the Lord. They wanted the angel of the Lord to spend some more time with them. They offered him some food and things like that. You know, it's hard to leave the presence of the Lord when it's lingering. But the angel of the Lord said something and said, I'm not going to eat your food. But what you can do is you can offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering, but you offer it to the Lord. Can I tell you something in these days? I may be jumping out on a limb here, and you might cut the limb off, and I might not have anything to stand on. But there's a lot of ministry spread around the world today that when something of the presence of God starts moving in, they want to take the credit for it. And it's like eating the food that's offered to them. Oh, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for this miracle that happened in your ministry and all those things. But as a church, help me serve God correctly and you serve Him correctly. And say like the angel of the Lord said, I'm going to offer my offering to the Lord. Man is a vessel. God is God. No ministry, great or small, is worthy to stand up and take credit and glory for the things that God does. One thing that Samson teaches us is it isn't about us. I can tell you that. Samson got the big head to go with his big muscles. As soon as somebody gets a little bit of favor in their life, it could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be a bus driver, it could be anything. You got to be careful what the enemy wants to do with that. Stay humble and let the grace of God fill us. And we'll see the power of God move more than once, over and over again. But Samson, no, I told you I was going to go back and talk about the parents. So they listened and there was obedience. And they went to the altar. They burnt the sacrifice on the altar. Obedience will bring you to the altar of God. From the altar of God, you will see miracles. Because Manoah and his wife saw a miracle. As the burnt offering was going up and the fire was on the altar, while the fire was on the altar, that'll preach all by itself. The prayers are hotbeds of coal. And if you and I will be at this altar bench and we'll let the prayers start fire again, the flames are going to reach heaven. But the angel of the Lord on that day, when they saw the burnt offering and it was offered unto the Lord, the Bible says that they saw the angel of the Lord ascend through the fire. Fire is something in our life that destroys. Fire is something that burns things down. But here we've got the angel of the Lord ascending through the fire into heaven. That ought to tell you and me that no matter how hot the flames of this life get, there is a God that can ride the flames of the fire and go on into heaven, and He ascended into the highest of highs. If that ain't a place to shout, I don't know what is. Because that is the place where the God says, I will turn it around for you. The flames of fire might be hot. The sin offering might be there. Satan might have you in his grasp. But get a hold of the altar and pray. And let the flames of your heart begin to burn towards Jesus. And the fourth man will walk and rise in the fire again for this church. Fire burns things down. But in that passage of Scripture, someone ascended through the fire. Wouldn't it be strange to go to a place where a building's burning and you know what happens? It becomes ashes and falls down. But what if you saw a house that was already ashes and somebody lit a fire in the ashes because that was what the burnt offering was? Sin is nothing but ashes in your life. Sin is nothing but a stain. Sin is nothing but ruin. Sin is everything wrong. And all of a sudden you see something rise up and a building and a structure rises up out of the firing flames. That does not make sense. But God goes against every principle that you and I have in this life and says, I'm greater than any law you ever came up with. I'm greater than any circumstance you've ever faced. I'm greater than any threat that's ever been breathed against the church. I'm greater than any kind of shortcoming that you might have. I am the one who will ascend and show you the miracle of going up in the flame instead of going down in flames. Guess who goes down in flames? Anybody want to guess? Do you know where the devil's going to end up? The lake of fire. Guess what? He ain't going to be ascending out of that no more. The flames are going to be there hot for him. Fire is not his friend. If it was, he would have got in there and stayed with Meshach, Shach, and Abednego, but he got to running. And Jesus said, hey, it's just getting about warm. Right about for me, I can handle these flames. Doesn't the Scripture say that his eyes are like flames of fire? Yeah. Oh boy, I want to preach. Stand to your feet. All you got this morning was introduction. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Don't let this be the year that the enemy points out to you you're barren, empty. Get close enough to the Lord that He speaks and says, yes, that's true, you're barren now, but tomorrow you're going to have a son. Can I tell you that the church has not lost its birthing power? If God raised up a Samson, because Samson was going to go in and God was raising him up, you have to read it. Because the Bible says that from his mother's womb, he was a Nazarite, devoted and consecrated to the Lord. That was his divine calling and position in the Lord. He didn't do it always right. But God puts His Holy Spirit on us and we don't always do it right. But we can go back where we don't have to end up dying with the Philistines. What shame that is to die inside the enemy's camp. Don't be lost in the world, doing the world's things and the world's pleasures and the world's business. Blow it off and say, you know, they've been telling me that Jesus is coming all my life. And you know what? I'm just tired of hearing it. I don't even think that He's coming at all. Teenagers and young people, adults, we have some tendencies in our life to sometimes, after we've heard it enough, we stop listening and say, yeah, I know it'll happen, but you know what? I got plenty of time. Do you? At one time in Samson's life, he probably was just as full of the power and energy of any other teenage young person, young adult. I can shake myself off just like I've done every other time, and you know what? That power is going to be there. I'm indestructible. He found out different. One day, playing with sin too long, playing out in the world and not getting close to God, really close. Manoah and his wife, after the miracle happened and they saw the angel of the Lord ascend in the flame, they learned holiness, humbleness, and the Bible says they bowed themselves to the ground. You know, the next conversation that they had, Manoah was saying to his wife, listen, we're going to die now because we've seen God. He said that because there's so much sin in the heart. There's so many wrongs in our life. We're unholy. When you get in the very presence of God, you don't argue anymore and try to puff yourself up and say, you know, I'm okay. No, when the real presence of God gets in your life and in your midst, you bow down and you fall before the grace of God and you say, I'm just an undone. I'm full of things that need to be fixed, God. I'm needing touched by you. That reverencing fear and awe of being in His presence. Where is that in the church today? Where is it in your heart? I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready? Are you really ready for Jesus if He should come? What will He find you doing? Where will He find you at? I want to pray a prayer, and then after the prayer, I just want to ask another question, but I want to pray first. Would you please pray with me? Father, grace and humbleness is what we need. Pride and pleasure is not for us. As a church, we want to be full of your grace and full of your mercy. As a people, the children of Israel, your children, we want to be led by you. This year in 2012, Father, let us see the miracle of the flame not bringing us down, but the presence of God going up, telling us that no matter what we have in our life, my God can turn it around. Now, church, while we're praying right now, I want you to be serious with God with all your heart. I want to ask a question. If you would slip into eternity right now, would you be able to stand before God and let Him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Would you hear those words, or would He say, you know, I'm glad you're here and you used my blood and you believed in me, but I can't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or maybe you've never asked Him into your heart. I want to pray this morning. Pray this prayer with me if you need salvation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I need you. You are the Son of the living God. I believe in you. I accept your love and your mercy, your pardon for my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believed it and prayed it and were honest with God, He came into your life. Continue to pray. Read through the book of Judges, starting about chapter 13. Go in there and see what God would say to you. I want to say a dismissal prayer of the service. Lord, we thank you today for your blessing. God, what great things you've done. You're faithful. And I want the church to know, and I want my life to know that you're faithful. God, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. We're so grateful for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.